right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is on the line. You know, Sandy, I just watch people, you know, in as I move around the community, and you see so many people who are indigent. So many people are just barely getting by, and they're aging. And you're not just going to be able to, you know, you got to account for these people at some point in time in a country. And the numbers, as we age the way that we are, the baby boomers, and that tremendous number, you know, you're going to have to deal with this, right? I mean, you can't dismiss it. You know, the blessings of those who are able to financially, they've been able to navigate the system, and they'll be able to at least, you know, take care of themselves. That number is a lot smaller than it was 50 years ago, Sandy.
Well, for sure, because of the change in the sort of benefits that are being provided by employers. That benefit problem has affected our healthcare system, and that benefit problem is seriously going to help affect our pension and retirement system. Because when we kicked the can down the road and decided we would give people the opportunity to have 401ks and to save for themselves, we basically absolved the corporations and the rest of society of the responsibility for being careful about the future. And we're finding now that the level of income that people had really didn't permit them to save enough and put enough aside in their 401ks to seriously take care of themselves. So even those people who had 401ks are finding the 401k principles not to be adequate when they retire. And most of the people in this country retire without 401ks and are left only with Social Security. And we have a Social Security system that's on the rocks. Again, because of maybe some demographics in the country and the shrinking numbers of young people as compared to the growing number of old people, but also just the political tendency in our country of kicking a can down the road and putting our head in the sand. It's hard to do both those things at once. It's hard to picture, at least, but that's what's happening.
But Sandy, because we don't want to deal with it or we don't want to talk about it, again, the most powerful nation on earth, and yet there are other nations who've been able to address the aging populations in their society. Is it so much the fact, Sandy, of the inequities that we have in our society that we don't want to deal with this, and those people are out of sight, out of mind? We'll just, for those who are fortunate enough to be able to make it through, fine, but people over there?
I think the inequities and the problem are all part of the same general cultural problem, which is the American principle is basically something like somewhere between laissez-faire and caveat emptor, those Latin terms, one meaning to each is, you know, teach what he earns, and the other one is the buyer beware. But we basically, as a culture, think that, for instance, healthcare should only be available to those who can afford it. And if you can't afford it, then it's up to the government to provide it in some fashion. And that government is not, and the public that is the policymaker for that government is not very sympathetic to those who can't afford it. And that's the case for everything. If you're poor, there's a general social sense for us that you're poor because there's something wrong.
Something you did.
Something you did. So it's basically to each his own. And in other cultures, there's much more of a community interest and a community involvement and a general value that puts its arms around everyone in the community to make sure that they can live a whole life. And we don't do that. We basically give each person the opportunity to make money, and if you don't make enough money, then it's too bad. Actually, there's something wrong with you.
You know, Sandy, I was looking at an article the other day. It said Elon Musk may be a trillionaire by 2024, and people celebrate. that he may become a trillionaire. And I'm not begrudging anybody. And so if he becomes a trillionaire, you know, the first trillionaire, you know, to be celebrating the, you know, one person can have control over $1 trillion when hundreds of millions of people, you know, struggle. I just think there's something wrong with that whole equation. I'm not saying that, you know, in a capitalistic society, you should put limits on people. But Sandy, there's got to be somewhere in between one guy having $1 trillion and then hundreds of millions of people struggling to eat and keep a roof over their heads.
Yeah. First, how does a guy make $1 trillion? He basically makes it from other millionaires who buy stock, right? The only way he accumulates $1 trillion is by having stock that has a price that's bid way up. And who owns stock? It's not you and me that are bidding those stocks up in such a fashion. It's all the people who have very substantial assets who are buying stock and buying Tesla stock in this case. I think, again, though, whether he becomes a trillionaire is less important than what he does with $1 trillion that he gets. And if we lived in a culture that had put a great deal of value on community interests, he'd be already setting up philanthropies to set about the task of giving away a great deal of that money to improve the world in the ways that he thinks are important. Because there's no way that either Elon Musk or his heirs, who have names that are very unusual, his heirs could possibly spend that money for their own personal interests. There's no way to do it. And there isn't any way to do it over many, many generations. So you would think that someone like that, living in a community that would be highly focused on community interests, would begin to give the money away quickly. But Mr. Bezos, as another very wealthy person, have not yet set about doing that. They've simply set about accumulating their money, and they can't possibly be spending it. They can buy big yachts, but you know they only spend a small fraction of it for the biggest yacht in the world.
Well, and you know, Sandy, you know, these Elon Musk is a young man. Bezos is a relatively young man. We're not talking about the what's the one guy's name? He's a billionaire who's been around long time.
Warren Buffett.
Yeah. You know, you look at a guy like that. And he's a lot closer to the other side of life, and I do know that many of those guys have set up, where when it's finally time for them to leave, that the money will go to different charities and those kinds of things. But you make a great point, Sandy. They could do that work now, right?
Yeah, I mean Buffett. To his credit, Buffett is the one who set up the group challenge to other fellow billionaires that they would commit.
Yeah, who joined in. Right, who joined in.
All their wealth. And a number of them did. Gates and some others have done that. Now, you know, and Gates has given away a great deal of money on international and national causes. And so I just think that, again, though, I come back to our cultural values. And We as a country will need to have a shift in our values for us to have a political process that results in what we need to accomplish to move the country from its current trajectory, which doesn't look very good, quite frankly.
Sandy, you don't think that'll take generations, do you? Because I don't think we have generations to figure it out.
Well, that's my fear. I don't know how quickly you can change values. And we need to start that process, and it needs to be this newest generation and every generation thereafter, as well as some of the ones who are already entrenched. The baby boomers were the closest ones to being able to disseminate money out to the rest of the world after our deaths. But we need to change values about what people are thinking about. they shouldn't be thinking about the next snowmobile they can buy. They ought to be thinking about their children and grandchildren's education.
Hey, Sandy, well said. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. The great Sandy Williams is on the line. We'll be right back.